Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Everybody, I'm CJ Liu. Welcome to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today we have a really special guest. His name is Jerry Winstrom, who is an artist, a lecturer, and I kind of view him as a spiritual master. And you'll see why. Today Jerry's going to be talking about his inspirational story that will give you an opportunity, it certainly did for me, to re-examine the way in which you do life and actually see life and see people and interact with the world around you. Welcome, Jerry. Are you there? Nope, he's still not here. So while we wait for our engineers to make a connection with Jerry, let me tell you a little bit about him. Jerry was in his early 20s a artist in New York City, a very successful artist in New York City, and he described his artwork coming from a pretty dark place, a place where there was a lot of fear, and in his artwork exploring things like fear of suicide, craziness. So, you know, pretty dark place. Jerry, are you there right now?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Okay, so I don't know if you heard, I was just introducing, we had some technical difficulties, but I was talking about your artwork and how you started off in kind of a dark place, and you described yourself as incredibly driven as an artist and desperately hammering on heaven's door. And then in your book, The Inspired Heart, you talk about attending a spiritual gathering where this woman, Hilda, singles you out among the crowd of, it sounds like 100 people, and says to you that you're hiding behind a veil and that there's lightness or something that is to emanate out of you, or your lightness isn't shining or something like that. I don't know. You tell us. What did she say to you? Welcome,
well,
by the way.
It started out that she was just speaking, you know, Hilda, she was quite a well-known spiritual teacher in New York at that time at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. But she was just speaking. She just began speaking and saying there was someone in the room, and she described, you know, I had my paint clothes as an artist on, and she described them. And then she sort of just walks through the audience and singles me out and bites a piece of candy and throws it to me and says, "Eat it."
Nice introduction.
Yeah.
Was that a metaphor for something? Like, when you look back, was that candy bar a metaphor for anything?
Well, I think it's part of a Hindu tradition where, you know, the guru shares food in that kind of a way that, you know, it's like sort of calling you in a certain way. But, you know, but before that, she spoke of someone's light was about to sort of come out, you know, and at the time I was very driven as an artist, so it was also close to the edge of when I let it all go and radically changed my life. And she also told the story, which was all part of the total picture, about her as an artist, a dancer, where she thought she was going to be a dancer her whole life, and she ended up in India hanging out with all these incredible spiritual teachers, and it changed her life. So, you know, there was metaphor and reality all mixed in together on that one.
Mm. And so then you did the most rational thing that you could expect. You went and destroyed all your artwork and gave everything away.
It wasn't that simple.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So what happened afterwards? So you left there. You describe in your book the inspired heart that you saw a frame that had the canvas cut out, and you had an intuitive sense that it meant something about the direction that your life needed to take. So tell us what you did afterwards with respect to your life and how you did life afterwards.
Well, there were many whispers along the way. I think I was already talking in a way that was beyond the literal container of Jerry as artist in the studio, and yet I was sort of terrified to leave that reality because it was the one place I felt comfortable, and I was like I could control my little reality there. And, you know, so there were many things sort of speaking to that. I was spending time with an older artist who was in his 80s, and he was going blind, and I was saying things like, you know, if that's what you're given in life, then you have to trust that. And he'd say, well, that's easy for you to say. You're young and just beginning, and, you know, it's hard to give up art. So there were so many things telling, you know, whispering to kind of put my money where my mouth was in a certain sense. Mm-hmm. And eventually I did finally it was just a moment where I got very clear where I could keep doing what I was doing, but it felt like a fear-based choice, or I could give myself to that abstract allurement that really promised nothing, but I sensed would give me what I couldn't achieve on my own. And on the strength of that clarity, I destroyed all my work. I gave everything I owned away, and then I lived that way for the next 15 years.
Mm. Now, one of the things when I read your book that keeps on popping up is, well, how did he live? And you mentioned in the book that you lived with a bunch of friends, and so, you know, paying the rent was never an issue. How were you able to survive in those 15 years without bringing any money in?
Well, you know, I've never spent a night on the street. There was always something that came through. For the first few years, I had this very large loft space. The rent was very cheap, and a friend took over the studio and paid the rent for the entire place. So that was a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were many ways. All I can say, I wasn't lovable enough. I certainly wasn't perfect enough or good enough that anyone would have wanted to take care of me so completely. And all those years I was also celibate, so there was no relationship to take care of me. All I can say is when all else failed, something always came through. And I think that was because of the strength of the actual initial leap into that void. I mean, I think when we can let the gods know we mean business, somehow they will meet us halfway. And, you know, it's always an unknown. And there were many, many ways that I was provided for. And in many ways, I still am. I mean, I still don't earn money. And yet, you know, certainly at this point, a lot of money has come in. I've had a benefactor for several years. And we've gotten grants through different organizations, Parabola Magazine, who distributed our film for a while, and other sources. So it's life is different now, but it's also not different. You know, I often think of it like learning to dance. You know, my book were the first steps of the dance, and they were radical, and they didn't even make sense to me, and yet they worked. I mean, there were things that just plain opened me up to new possibilities. And now, at this point in my life, it's sort of the celebratory end of it all. And it's more, you know, there's abundance, and the dance, the music is playing now. Before, it was just steps, and you didn't know why I was even taking them.
Well, it's a great metaphor, too, because it's almost like in the very beginning, it's as if you're dancing in an empty dance hall, and you're hoping that someone will come and dance with you, but it's out of pure faith. Right? That you stand there swaying to the music, hoping that someone will, you know, that spirit, that God, that universe, or whatever you want to call it, that with your extreme faith in something higher, that will come and dance with you. Was that what it was like for you? Or what? I mean, I don't know, because I haven't fully jumped into the void like you have. I'm still a little bit scared of it, to be truthful.
Well, and I don't think everyone needs to do what I did. I think we're all in the best seat in the house, and you know, what is your moment call for that's particularly based on your totality, all that your life has been about. You may have children, you may have a job, whatever. And what is your life about, and what's the next level of courage being whispered in your direction? And that's all you have to worry about. I don't think anyone needs to do what I did, although, you know, for me it was perfectly natural. I was already living pretty radically driven, trusting. I think there's something about the creative process itself where you're trusting in unknowns and you take risks, and as a result of those risks, something inspired will come through. And so, you know, the gods just keep upping the ante until at some level, they, you know, it was like, okay, now do it with your whole life. And that scared the hell out of me, but I sensed and intuited that it would give me everything I was looking for and couldn't achieve on my own. And it was a kind of quantum leap. I mean, something happened that I could not have achieved on my own.
Beautiful. Thank you. Unfortunately, I have to go for break. We're going to come right back. We have Jerry Wenstrom, a lecturer, artist, teacher, and trailblazer for a whole new way of living. I actually love the way that you're living and think it's quite inspired. Jerry's website is a beautiful showcase of his many talents, and you can go to www.handsofalchemy.com. Don't go anywhere, because in our next segment, we'll be sharing what it would look like if your whole life was art and a creative expression of your divine nature. Want to create a happy you and a happy planet? Then friend us on Fired Up with CJ's page on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Shh. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today we have artist Jerry Winstrom, who takes creative expression and being an artist to a whole new level. And earlier in the segment, we were talking about his unbelievable story and the way that he does life. And I was telling Jerry during a break that I read his book, The Inspired Heart. And I and welcome back, Jerry. Sorry. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I was telling a friend of mine, I said, I am equal parts disturbed and in peace from reading Jerry's book. And she said, well, that must be your spiritual book then. And I said, yes, it is. And she said, any book that disturbs your complacency on the way that you you lead life is a good book in my from my perspective. And I absolutely have to agree, because I think that we live our life really complacently, never questioning the way that we do life. And an experiment, and now your life has taken on this brand new shape. I don't know, how would you describe what you do? Is it following the divine? Is it letting creation happen? How do you describe it?
Well, it's about trust, and I think it's also about sort of figuring out the science of being in a certain way. I mean, we all need to discover what actually works in terms of, you know, that larger collective consciousness that can guide our lives. And, you know, it's not like being foolhardy. It's really coming to find grounding and trust in the way we choose to live our lives. And, you know, I will admit I took a rather radical path, but it has met me halfway. And I think, you know, wherever, however much we can trust, is that is the place where the gods will meet us halfway, one way or another. And if we choose to live frightened small lives, then, you know, 90% of our possibility is in a very small box. And that's, you know, it's just a different kind of reality.
When you talk about the gods meeting you halfway, how does it manifest itself when you're doing your artwork?
Well, I go into my artwork like I do everything else. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I can tell you a story of a piece I did not too long ago. I found this large sign that was from an old animal clinic, and it was a thick slab of cedar. It was enormous. It was like 4 by 8 feet and very thick, maybe 6 inches thick, beautiful old-growth cedar. I found it up at the recycle, so I bought it and brought it home, laid it face down, and I decided to cut three figures out of it. So I drew three figures, 6-foot-tall figures, not knowing what I would do with them. And when I was cutting the last one, the phone rang, and it was my first love from high school. And it was, I hadn't heard from her in many, many years, and she had read my book and found the parabola video. And so she knew all about me, and you know, I write about her in the book and healing the bloodline. This is whole story. And anyway, so she, when we had this lovely conversation, and when I hung up the phone, I finished cutting the third figure. And when I was, and I turned it over, and perfectly situated from the word animal clinic was anima, which, you know, the Jungian expression, you know, the inner feminine of a man and the inner masculine of a woman is anima, animus. But it was so perfect that I did, you know, here's my first anima projection was her. You know, you never quite love like you do when you're a teenager. And so I created a whole art piece around that. I used another figure as the animus, and then I had the union of opposites. So it was all very alchemical in its final expression. But, I mean, it's just an example of how you go in like a prayer. You don't go in knowing, you know, I love what Campbell says about art. You know, the lowest form of art he calls pornography, which is art to elicit a desire. And the next form is sort of based on goodness, which he calls propaganda. Even if it's something really good you think you're doing for the world and you do it with an idea, it's propaganda. But the third and highest form of art of all simply leaves you in awe. So you don't know anything about it, but it leaves you in awe, and I think that is the great art of the world. It's the art that touches people in a way that's not about ideas. And, you know, people, you know, often we don't even know why we are so inspired by a work of art. I think it's because it has that quality of awe and unknowing written into it.
How do you keep pure to that? Is it, you know, because if you want to be in the place of awe, not propaganda or pornography. And by the way, that's hard to do when you really think about all your creative endeavors. When I did listen to another piece that you were talking about, Joseph Campbell's comment, and you know, I thought, well, what is my show? Is my show propaganda or is it pornography or is, and you know what, oddly, I would actually say it's kind of a mixture of many different things. And what I would like it to be is about awe. But how does one bring that about? How did you go about bringing that out?
Well, it's pretty hard to do when you make a thing out of anything. And, you know, and for, you know, like art is an aspect of my life that's part of this whole, what I call wandering. Sometimes I'll just wander into it, and then sometimes someone will just show up, and that's where the awe appears. And so I think one of the bedrock, the foundation, you might say, of awe is to live life, is to keep your life open to all things at all times. And most of us can't do that. You know, we need to name the beast somehow. We need to be a PhD doctor or something that's very identifiable that we put all our energy into. And then we wonder why it's so, you know, it's in some way it's so pathological. You know, it sort of eliminates so much of the mystery. We might make $1 million at it and everybody says, well, what a good girl are you? But it has nothing to do with living the totality of the moment and your life and having it unfold in a way that leads to that awe. So I think a premise of it is leaving your life open to that mystery. And that's terrifying for most of us, because who are you if you're not something identifiable in the world? That's very scary for us. You know, we all need to identify with something. We need a reference point. You know, I am a this. And Destroying My Art was saying art was too small. Artist was too small. You know, the world was certainly behind it. And in the 70s in New York, art was God, certainly a false God. And yet there was all this other life that was unaccounted for. And I knew it and I sensed it. And my pathology as a driven artist was beginning to feel destructive to me. So it's a tricky one. I mean, how do you give your life to all of it, trust it all, and stop identifying with the safe little, you know, box that we feel comfortable in?
Just, you know, one of the funny things that as I was looking at a lot of your marketing materials, now your identity is a guy who gave up his identity, which is kind of funny, isn't it?
Well, it's a paradox. I mean,
it is
full of paradox. I mean, so, and also, I mean, you want another funny one. I became more known as an artist for destroying my art than I ever did for creating it. I mean, it's full of paradox.
I love that. Oh, God, I really, I can't thank you enough for your book, because it really was. It gave me a lot of faith to know that I've, to me, it's been a conceptual idea and something that I've been living with like every 6 months I'm pulled by a spiritual calling. I follow it. There's always gifts. And over the last couple of months, I've been exploring, what if it was every day that you lead your life in that way? And your book really provides a beautiful example of the miracles and mystery and magic that the world can have when you lead your life in that way. So thank you. It really is a beautiful gift, your book, and your artwork is beyond. I mean, I would love to come to Whidbey and see it someday in person, because the videos of it are phenomenal. So thank you so much for being on the show. And it's really an honor to meet you.
Well, thank you, CJ.
Yeah, and for folks out there who want to experience some magic, then go to handsofalchemy.com, and you will you can actually go to some lectures that Jerry and his wife, Marilyn, is that Marilyn? Is that right? Marilyn?
Yeah, Marilyn.
You'll see some beautiful artwork that just has, that embodies a lot of the stuff that we've talked about. You'll be able to get Jerry's book, and there's a movie coming out. Tell us the name of the producer. It's a Danish producer,
Hans
right?
Fabian. Yeah, he's Danish, Denmark. Hans Fabian Wellenweber. There's information on our website about that, too. He's a world-class filmmaker, and we've been working on this feature film for over a year. It's about my life and art with actors this time. There are two documentaries, but this is a Hollywood kind of film.
Oh, yeah, who gets to play you? Do you know who gets to play you yet?
No. Budgets and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, anyways, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. For folks who are listening, if you want to, this show is really about keep creating a happy you and therefore hopefully a happy planet, because when you're happy, the planet is happy. So go to the iTunes store if you want to be happy, make the planet happy. Go to Fired Up with CJ in the search box and get a free subscription to our weekly show. Next up, we'll be talking to another artist, Ellen Brooke, whose art has been her vehicle for self-discovery. We'll be right back.